I would simply play that song before every game if I were a San Diego Padre. Of course, if you're watching in the YouTube stream, that's you don't get to hear it, but it's Better Living Through Chemistry by Queens of the Stone Age. It gets me fired up every time. I had feared this morning that our morning show here, Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fan, was going to take the personality of the baseball team that we cover, meaning we would come in today and just kind of sleep through it and go through the motions and hack first pitch and be a little boring and just get dominated. But that song always puts me in the right headspace, and I'm back to where I need to be. I'm Woodsy. That's Paul Reindel. He's the executive producer. Good morning, Paulie.
Good morning.
How are you, sir?
I'm great.
Great. Benjamin R. Higgins, your friendly neighborhood sports anchor, joins us as well. Pissy moods in here this morning by all of us. Just kind of like, you know?
Moi? Me?
Even you.
Me?
Yes.
What?
Even you.
Especially you.
You wait 48 hours or whatever for a baseball game, and then you get handed that. It's a turd. Say, hey, we're going for pizza in 2 days. I'm really looking forward to it. I've been dieting so hard. Oh, my God. I've been really crushed. I'm working out. I feel great. I ran. I got all my steps in. Been dieting great. We're going for pizza on Friday night. Okay, great. Where are we going? Little Caesars. Killer. Killer. That's what we got last week. We got Little Caesars.
Joey Undercooked.
Yes. You know what? Actually, Papa John's. I'm going to say Papa John's. Little Caesars got...
Don't hate on Little Caesars.
I just got a bad rap for Little Caesars. It's Papa John's, dude. That's where we ended up going.
You're paying $5.
It's $5.
You know
what you're
getting.
It's delicious. You know what? You're right. It's delicious. It's Papa John's. You get it? You're like, why is there this pepper in here? I don't want this pepper in here. I don't want this. It's disgusting. No offense. But it's not my
jam. I have no pizza complaints. My boys ordered Round Table last night.
Delicious.
There was a couple slices left over when I got home.
Company man.
Ready for the Round Table on Thursday. Tomorrow, no problems with pizza for me today.
Yeah, listen, it's just, you know, you wait that. You wait. We all do this, too. We sit and we're like, oh, God, I can't wait for tonight. Watch the game. Got me something to do.
Were you really excited about that game
yesterday? Well, I knew what the outcome was going to be, but I still want to see. I want to see how they responded. I wanted to see, you know, if Major could hold this you know, anemic offense down. If we could fight our way to, I knew it was going to be really tough against Gilbert. I knew that. But I was excited. Hell yeah, I was excited about it. I was real excited about it. I love watching baseball games in my house.
And I mean, baseball is baseball, so there's always the possibility for something unexpected. But when one team's throwing an all-star and the other team is throwing a guy who shouldn't be in the major leagues and is only here because of injuries and the lack of depth in the organization to bring anybody else up, you know what's going to happen.
No,
95% of the time.
But
that's
that,
the game you're just going to get bodied in that game.
That's like saying it's that 5% that gets me coming back. I know if I go tee it up at a local golf course today, I'm probably going to shoot in the triple digits. But there's been a handful of times where I didn't. There's been a handful of times I started my round with four pars in a row and looked like a really good golfer. There's times I've made birdies. There's times I've stuck it 3 feet from the hole and, you know, tapped in for birdie. That's what gets you coming back every time. And, you know.
And maybe if Adam Major had gotten through the first inning cleanly, you would have gone, all right, you know, hold him. Keep this close. You have a chance. The game was over, in my mind, after one batter.
No question.
When he walked the first batter,
it's
I
over.
Said,
it's
this
it.
Game is over.
Jose says, oh my God, the kid's a number five starter. He's not. He's
no,
not.
He's a number seven starter, and he shouldn't even be that.
He's not. And again, it's not. This is not on him. He's just not ready. That happens. He may very well develop into a good big league pitcher. It's just not right now, and that's okay. That's okay. Every team's got one that they're working through. I mean, look, he wasn't super highly touted. He wasn't like Bobby Miller from the Dodgers, where it was like, this kid's going to win a Cy Young. He's going to win 20 games in the show easily. Bobby Miller got his ass cracked last night. Just smoked by the Phillies. And it happens, all right? But he's not a number five starter. He is not ready. He's got forced into that situation. There's nothing he can do about it. He's going to try to go out and compete, but he needs more seasoning. He needs a lot. He needs another pitch potentially. But yeah, it's not on him, man. Also, you can't win when you don't hit and you don't score. And I totally look at the offense last night and go, well, nice of you guys to not show up. And I know it's Logan Gilbert. I know it is. He's nasty. But it almost is like you got to figure out how to beat guys like that if you want to be a playoff team. And especially when you get into the playoffs. And yeah, we won't be throwing out a major in the playoffs, but they'll be throwing Logan Gilbert, and you got to figure out a way to beat him. And at least, bro, 78 pitches in the eighth inning? Give me an effing break. Come on.
We'll talk about the game coming up. Brandon says, I've never seen Ben this upset about a Padre player ever. I'm actually not upset, and we'll discuss it. This is the reality of baseball sometimes. The Padres even know. I know this is going to shock you because they don't say it. Padres know Adam Mazur shouldn't be here.
Correct.
They don't have anybody else.
That's right.
Hunter Renfro is a loser.
Yeah, we knew that.
They don't have anybody else right now. They're looking for someone else. AJ is on the phone. It's every day. But you can't just magically make a pitcher appear out of thin air. Take some work. Takes matching up with other organizations. It takes getting healthy. It takes time to get healthy sometimes. And right now, he's unfortunately the best option they have.
Yeah.
And we'll talk about it coming up. We got our Padres wrap up at the bottom of the hour. But let's foreplay here. Let's get into the game.
We just started the show with how boring. That was a terrible game.
Yeah.
I don't want to spend the next 8 minutes.
Well, speaking of pizza, I tried something over the break. I forgot to tell you guys about. You know, every few years, there's a new trend in pizza. And somebody tries something different. Many, 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 many moons ago, it was the barbecue chicken pizza.
Of course.
Amazing.
Sammy's had one of the first versions of
it. Delicious.
Ledoux's barbecue chicken pizza.
California Pizza Kitchen had it.
Yep.
It's delicious. It's all good, right? You do that. Then there was some, like, veggie pizzas, then there was like Alfredo pizza. There's all these different trends. Well, the new one that I had read about a few months ago was this like hot Italian sausage with honey.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I see.
Yeah,
that.
The hot, spicy
honey.
With pepperoni or sausage on it.
Yes,
yeah.
Tried it.
Oh, yeah.
It's fantastic. My only complaint, I can't even remember the name of the place we ate. It was on 4th of July. Nothing else was open, so we stopped in and grabbed it. And I was like, I want to try this. There was too many. They had like peppers on it, real spicy peppers. And I think with pizza, you can just have the spicy Italian sausage and or a pepperoni and then the hot honey drizzled on top of it. It's pretty great. Like, I was thinking about it. I'm like, I don't know if this is going to be good. And then I put one bite. I go, it's too spicy, but we need more honey on it. But honey on pizza was phenomenal.
So this is the opposite of what, you know, they discovered in desserts seemingly in the last 15 years. A little salt sometimes, like, on the sweet.
Yes.
Really advances all the flavors. Well, the opposite with pizza is true. A little sweet on all that kind of salt and fat cheese can actually elevate everything.
One of my favorite pizzas is pepperoni, pineapple, jalapeno.
Delicious.
So you got like a little bit of everything.
A little
like
bit of everything.
Sweet, spicy.
Yeah.
It's so good.
Carlos says salt on the sweets was a game changer. Yeah, I remember the first time I had like some salted caramel. What do you say?
Either way. I mean, there's another A in there, so it's a caramel.
You say caramel?
I say caramel.
You say caramel.
Yeah.
So salted caramel. I was like, this is like, there's little chunks of salt on this, and I can't get enough. I'd like to add a little bit more to it.
Makes you want to go back for more.
Now I feel like I want salt on most desserts that I have. Like, does this dessert have salt on it? No, I want more. That's how I feel. Now I'm getting hungry. Again, Brandon says pineapple doesn't go on pizza. It absolutely does.
Yes, it does.
It's absolutely delicious and nutritious, and you get your fruit.
It's okay if you haven't tried it before, but try it.
It's badass. It's so good. Nothing like it.
Speaking of pizzas, barbecue chicken pizzas, and desserts, I got invited to do something yesterday that seems very appropriate right now. I got an invitation from
amazing.
Sammy's at 7 Mile, our beloved 7 Mile Casino and Sammy's, and on July 31st, they're going to be a Sammy's Messy Sunday Media Decorating Contest to celebrate their 35th anniversary of 7 Mile Casino, and they wanted me to participate. What am I going to say? No?
Can't.
So it's going to be my job to design a brand new Messy Sunday. And I don't know all the details yet. I don't know who else is competing.
One, two. That's 3 weeks from today.
If I win, they're going to put my sundae on the menu.
Question.
Right. At Sammy's at 7 Mile.
Going to make this happen.
Now, question. They invited you.
Yeah.
But we endorse 7 Mile Casino.
Correct.
Will this be the Ben and Woods Sunday, or will this be the Ben Higgins?
Maybe you'll get a separate invitation. We'll be competing against each other.
I'll be in Hawaii, so I will not be attending.
They knew that.
Sorry.
They follow the show enough to know you're going to be gone.
I will be sucking down pina coladas somewhere out of a husked out coconut or pineapple. If you're going to do it, you have to name it Ben and Woods. Sorry.
That's fine.
Because you endorse them.
The Ben and Woods Sunday is fine.
The Ben and Woods Sunday.
They have a list of.
Collab on it before.
There's a list of ingredients.
Really?
That
you
I can
it to
use.
Me?
Yeah, I will forward you the email.
Sounds amazing.
And I'm also allowed to bring 2 ingredients of my own that are not on the list. As long as they're easily sourced, you know, because if it goes on the menu, they want to be able to. You know, acquire the ingredients.
Not ketamine or something like that,
exactly.
Right?
Okay. So I'm trying to decide maybe what my special ingredients are going to be. You know, the messy sundae, it's got the chocolate sauce running all over the side, but you can do other. You can do caramel or caramel or however you say it on the side, whatever you want to do. So I'm kind of starting to think about what kind of messy sundae I want to create.
Well, knowing you as well as I do, you're going to be thinking about this for 3 weeks
straight
and overthinking this. Big old scoop of Crisco lard right on the side. Delicious. Smooth. I've got some ideas for you. You probably don't want them, but I'd like to see the list of ingredients as well, and maybe we can collab on that after the show. Yeah, the Ben & Woods Tier 1. What did she say? Ben & Woods Tier 1 Ale Topper. What's an ale topper? Oh, like bring the Tier 1 beer. I don't want beer in my sundae, though, I don't think.
I don't think that would... I mean... I know we're trying to mix flavors here and unique tastes that don't usually go together, but yeah, that one seems maybe not quite right.
Squirrely says butterscotch sundae on the way.
I do like butterscotch.
God.
Butterscotch pudding sundae.
Disgusting. Well, listen, I wish you luck in that. I'll let me know how it goes. I'll be on the beach relaxing. Very, very fun month for your old pal Woods. You were telling me how long and gnarly your July is.
Partly because yours is going to be so fun. You know how that works, right?
When did things change?
Things have changed.
I feel like it wasn't that long ago. If Ben or myself took 3 out of 4 weeks off or whatever during baseball season, Woods would have us kicked off the show.
Yeah. I'm going to be missing a week.
You're missing the trade deadline.
I don't think I am. When's the trade deadline?
July 30th.
July 31st. The last week of July,
you're
gone. Of course.
Yeah, we'll be
going to be big Padres news. We're going to have to call you on the beach. It'll be like 4 a.m. because you're on a time change, and get your thoughts on what happens.
What day? July 31st?
Just for transparency here, my colleague at Channel 10, Steve Smith, is also going to Hawaii for 2 weeks.
That's excessive, Steve.
He's doing a cruise of the islands, and then... You're going to Hawaii at basically the same time.
All of your partners are going to Hawaii.
And so I'm being abandoned for the rest of July.
He went to Hawaii twice in 1 year.
I did.
Remember that, Paul?
That
he went twice
2 years
in
ago,
1 year. He went, he came back, and then he
and then we had a wedding,
weeks later,
and then there was a wedding.
I'm going back to Hawaii.
I know.
Are you kidding? So, I'm...
This is karma coming back to bite me.
We had 6 years of vacation, Ben. This is year one of Vacation Woods, and I got to tell you, I'm going to enjoy it. I'm going to enjoy every second. I will call in. I'll call in and check on you guys, and if we make any big trades, I'll be there. I'll be there for you. I don't know how.
Just bring the equipment just in case.
I'm absolutely not bringing the equipment. I promise you that is not happening at all, not in the slightest. But all right, well, let's get into it today, boys and girls in the audience, whatever you guys want to do. Take your calls today, too. We've got some time, right? We've got a good show. Ben will set
we
up
do.
The menu.
Big League Wednesday. I'll give you the menu when we come back.
Yeah.
We'll obviously get a little bit more into last night's not unexpected loss to the Seattle Mariners. Let's just be honest
still
about that.
Still sucked, though.
It did still suck, and we'll talk about it all coming up. First, a check of traffic. See how Kelly's doing with those roadways on a Wednesday morning. Ben and Woods on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
You wouldn't even wear those, would you?
I would not. I would not.
Talking about Tevas. If you're following along in the YouTube chat right now, my wife hit me up last night before you set the menu and said, hey, I want to get you some Tevas for our Hawaii trip. And I just looked at her and I said, No, not with a gun to my head would I wear Tevas. It's not for me. I don't even wear flip-flops, really. I mean, I have a pair. I like them. They're fine. Shuffling around the house and stuff. But that's the ultimate. You're done, right? You put those on, it's over.
Yeah.
If he won't wear them.
I won't wear them. I mean, you know, I have no qualms about being unfashionable.
You have zero qualms about being unfashionable. You won't wear them.
I'm a flip-flop loyalist. You know, rainbows, reefs, I just have the ones that I like, and I don't want all kinds of straps behind my heel and over the top of my foot.
What am I, a Roman soldier? I don't need things strapped over my feet. Like, forget it.
When I think sandals.
Maximus here.
Fatsimus. Just trying to hike around with slippery crisscrosses over my feet.
When I think like sandals, flip-flops, especially you're going to Hawaii, like I think at some point your feet will be wet. Whether you're getting out of the pool, getting off out of the ocean,
right?
You're putting on your sandals.
Sure.
Sand. You don't need those straps. It feels like it always is like irritating your feet.
She's like, I think you wear them for hiking. And I go, well, I'll just wear tennis shoes for hiking, I guess.
Yeah,
I'm not wearing hiking shoes. That's for sure. I don't have hiking boots, nor do I want to put those. I'm not wearing Tevas. Like, I feel like
with tennis shoes in Hawaii is if it starts raining, which it does all the time, then you kind of get all wet socks and feet.
I'm really at a loss here.
Yeah.
You know she's going to end up getting them for me. You know she is. She's going to jam them down my throat.
I'm looking at them. Those straps around the back of the ankles, like that looks like Blister City.
Blister City, you get sand in between the Roman soldier straps, and you're done. You're done. You're absolutely done for. So if that's kind of my barometer. Hey, Ben, would you wear these Tevas? If I gave them to you, would you wear them?
Probably
no,
not.
I wouldn't. Then the answer is a hard no.
I think you'd be better off in Crocs.
100%. And I have several pairs of Crocs.
Flip them into sport mode, you're
flip
good.
Flip them into sport mode, I'll be fine. Yeah.
Handle that hike.
You have any Crocs?
I've had them in the past. I don't think I currently have
any. You don't
have
them.
But you know me.
Okay.
Flip-flops, till the day I die.
I'm not doing it, man.
All right, before we get to the menu, it is also Wednesday morning, which means we had an incorporator last night with the one and only Jesse Agler, who yesterday joined us at 8:35 and came with his own incorporator word, a little twist on the incorporator.
Popped in my head as we were talking here, and as I'm sitting in a random parking lot in La Costa somewhere after dropping my son off at camp, I am hearing his Tamagotchi beeping away in the back seat. Because those are apparently back and as annoying as ever. So I thought the word Tamagotchi might be a fun
Tamagotchi.
One
it's
to
like
find.
Okay. Yeah, it's like the digital pets for kids. Yes. So Jesse said that's the word I'm going to try to work into last night's game between the Mariners and the Padres. And as it turned out, probably the highlight of the game last night was the incorporator.
Yeah.
Paulie, when did he get it in? Because I know he got it.
This was bottom of the sixth inning yesterday.
1-0 pitch, and Kim takes a strike on the outside edge. 1-1 from Logan Gilbert, who is here tonight at least, looking like something out of a different era. Like one of those things that was cool and now is again, a Tamagotchi or whatever. 1-1 pitch down the middle and a strike 1-2. We just don't often see guys pitching this way, this well anymore.
Yeah, something from a foregone era that has made a return. I remember when the Nintendo system made a return. All these great video games that you kids have and that's so realistic. And all of a sudden, a few years ago, they put out that Nintendo and it had all the games downloaded on it. And it was going for like $500 at Christmas. And all these kids are sitting there playing Pitfall like we used to when we were kids, loving it. Mike Tyson's Punch-Out, it always comes back around. I saw Bo yesterday running down the street with a tire and a stick. He was doing the old tire.
Oh, the old tire
yeah.
and the stick.
Yeah, you know, from
what
the
great game.
From the 30s. It all comes back to you. Kicking the can down the street yesterday was great. It's great.
I guess old school in what? The sense that he's a strike thrower, unafraid to attack the strike zone, threw 75% strikes, yeah. Which meant the Padres really couldn't wait him out. I don't think anyone saw more than five pitches the entire night. And it wasn't because they were being overly aggressive. I mean, it's either you swing early or you fall behind 0-2. Yeah, those were your two choices against Logan Gilbert. And if you swung early, you're probably going to ground out because he was hitting the corners of the zone and keeping it down. And he's got there's a reason he was an all-star last night.
Yeah.
And I'm not
You're tipping your hat, aren't you?
A little bit.
All right.
A little bit. The Padres did end up scoring three runs. The way to beat a guy like that is, you know, eventually you get a swing or two against him. They did. A couple of home runs. Jake got one. We'll talk about the game coming up in our Padres wrap-up. But to do that, it requires, of course, you have to keep the other team in check. And Adam Mazur couldn't do that. We will talk about the Padres' continued pitching depth struggles here in our Padres wrap. It's Norman Will features. Don't do this. Big 12 Media Day featured I think an all-timer. Don't do this yesterday from a classic Ben and Woods figure in Mike Gundy.
He's out of his mind, isn't he?
Completely out of his mind. But that's
lost
his brand.
His mind.
Like he feels like he can get away with being out of his mind because he's Mike Gundy.
Well, and he has for many
years.
Yeah.
Yes. It is a big
I'm
league
a man.
Wednesday.
I'm 40. He's 40.
You got to play his greatest hits at some
now
point.
Now he's, what, 50-something?
I give a rat's ass about Twitter. He's amazing.
I give a rat's ass about Twitter.
If you did,
you'd be in it.
Right now, you'd be in it after what you said yesterday.
Yeah.
So, Mike Gundy in our Don't Do This segment. It's a Big League Wednesday. We will catch up with Adam Jones. It's been a couple of weeks. He will join us. I know he was tweeting about it earlier at 7:35 this morning. And then Brett Boone, your Odyssey insider, former big leaguer, host of the Brett Boone podcast, will join us at 8:35 this morning. Got our Rindle report at 9. Got some more Fogarty tickets to give away. You don't have your guitar anymore to play with Fogarty, but we'll figure out a way to do that as well. And then look ahead to the Padres been able to at least split this two-game series today in a kind of a strange start time. We got a 3:40 start this afternoon.
I'm feeling it a little actually.
Kind of a modified getaway day for the Mariners to get out of town with Michael King and Bryce Miller at 3:40. So we'll look ahead to today's game. If that's your menu for you, we will come back with our Padres wrap-up next. Highlights of the 8-3 loss. We'll talk about Adam Mazur's struggles and more. All coming up with Ben and Woods on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. Sour 97.3 The Fan is brought to you by the Frozen Ropes Baseball and Softball Training Facilities. Frozen Ropes now signing up athletes aged 6 through 12 for baseball and softball summer camps. Half-day, full-day options available. Make it a Frozen Ropes summer. For more information, visit SanDiegoFrozenRopes.com. That's SanDiegoFrozenRopes.com. We did have a player in studio yesterday. He was terrific. If you missed it, Kyle Higashioka came in, jammed on the guitar, then went out and hit a home run last night.
Oh, I was so relieved after he caved in his first AB. Five.
Now realize that
it's a trooper.
I know that what, you know, who we talk to has no impact on performance, but I don't know that the players always realize that. So I wanted Kyle Higashioka to have a good feeling. Like, if he went out and went 0 for 4 with 4 strikeouts the day he came in and visited Ben and Woods in the studio, it's going to be hard for him to separate those two things. So I'm really happy that he hit a home run in the game yesterday. So now he knows, hey, the day I went in and, you know, jammed with those guys, I hit a home run. He can feel good about that going forward. We didn't do anything to help him.
Not a damn thing.
Not anything at all. I'm taking zero credit.
I'm taking zero credit and zero blame.
I'm just glad we're getting no blame from anybody, hopefully. They did lose the game.
They lost the game, but I fully could see the tweets coming out. Oh, maybe he should have been in the cages instead of playing guitar.
Maybe
with
he should have brought more of his teammates with him so they all could have played better last night like he did.
Maybe get Manny in here, play the guitar, since Manny is, after Friday night, has just been not great.
All right, we'll get to the Padres wrap-up, talk about Adam Mazur's performance right after this check of traffic on 97.3 The Fan.
It's a shame if they lose.
Oh, a shame indeed.
It's a complete crap.
Oh, I did not like that.
Here are the lowlights from yesterday's game.
Are you kidding me?
Boo.
It's the Padres by Hummel Casino. With thrilling slots and tables and all the best rewards, Hummel Casino has all the fun you're looking for. Hummel Casino. Fun above all else.
We'll give it 16 minutes of salt, and then we'll, you know, get back on the bump and figure it out.
It's not your fault.
For the Mariners this year, most in baseball, as Rodriguez bounces one through the left side, a base hit. Crawford rounding third on his way. The throw and the tag, not in time. Bang, bang at the plate. Higashioka did a nice job kind of acting like the throw wasn't coming in, but J.P. Crawford never let off the gas. Profar nearly got him. It's an RBI single and a 1-0 Seattle lead. Here's the pitch. And a curveball hit in the air to right field and deep. Peralta's backing up. He is at the wall. It's going to go. Two-run home run for Cal Raleigh. He almost passed Rodriguez near first base. J-Rod had gone back, and Peralta made that catch. He might have been trying to tag from first to second base, but it is a home run. Raleigh did not pass him. A two-run shot and a 4-0 game in the third. This one hit a mile to left. Oh, boy. Up above the line score on the second deck for Julio Rodriguez. And as hard of a hit ball as we have seen this year. 411 feet. And a 5-0 Mariner lead. J-Rod is now 3-for-3. That is his 9th home run of the season.
Yeah, that ball is absolutely crushed.
Runner on third, one out, so the infield now in. And the 1-1 pitch is golfed in the air to deep left field. Profar turns around, going to go. Line drive, home run, Cal Raleigh, his 2nd of the night. A 2-run shot and a 7-0 Seattle lead. Here's the 0-1, and Cronenworth hits it in the air to deep right field. This one is way back. Gonna go over the Petco porch. 2nd hit of the night for the Padres will break up the shutout. A solo homer for Cronenworth, his 13th of the season. 1-1. Higashioka swings, hits it in the air to deep left field. Moore is racing back. He'll number 11 for Higashioka. That is a new career high. 2-run shot in the 8th, and it's 7-3. There's the 1-2. Manny swings, hits a ground ball to third. Charged by Rojas. Little trouble getting it out of his glove to 2nd one. On to 1st in time, and a double play to end the game. Padres got a base runner in the bottom of the 9th inning, but that is that as the Mariners take game one of this 2-game set by a final of 8-3 behind one of the best pitching performances we have seen against the Pods here this season. Final score, Seattle 8 and the Padres 3.
Yeah, I think it's a combination of things. He was good. I mean, Gilbert threw the ball well. He's an all-star for a reason. He's got a really, really nice arm. Good life on his ball tonight. Was throwing it where he wanted to. Secondary was working. The guy was really, really good. Crony got him. And, that was a good swing, obviously. And, of course, Higgy, we started getting to him late, but it was too late.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah,
ran
too late.
Out of time.
Too late.
Yeah. Had we played 17, 18 innings and Logan Gilbert stayed in, we may win that game.
force him to throw 17 innings?
But then again, I don't know.
Padres also would have run out of pitching as well.
We would need somebody to get outs as well, which again continues to be a really, really tough look for the Padres bullpen, Ben. And funnily enough, I mean, the guy that, 3 weeks into the season, everyone was saying, why is he here? Steven Kolek quietly putting together just good outing after good outing now. And again, it's in low leverage situations. It's fine.
I'm liking Austin Davis. I mean,
yeah, he had a rough one the other night, but it's the nature of the beast, man. He's a young kid too, but Kolek has been stringing together some decent outings. In fact, I rarely do this anymore because it's such a fool's errand to go, well, I really would have liked to see so-and-so here, because it doesn't really matter with this Padres bullpen in its current state. But I'm looking at that going, all right, this is the things I was thinking about in my head, and I wonder if Mike Schilt was thinking the same. And walk with me here. We're down 5-0, I think, at the time. In the 5th?
Correct.
And I go, all right, I mean, we have been the comeback kids, but Gilbert's thrown 35 pitches or something by the 5th. Doesn't look like he's coming out anytime soon. Why don't we shut this mother down tonight? We'll see what we can do, see if we can scratch something out. But I'm not going to use guys that are on decent runs like Steven Kolek. I'm going to go use my Eniel De Los Santoses, guys like that. I actually started to put Steven Kolek in a move him out of this bucket and put him into a more high leverage bucket. So I was actually disappointed to see him come in last night. Yuki Matsui, bro, he had been good in really low leverage situations. That was one. He wasn't good again. I don't know what you do if you're AJ Preller or if you're Mike Schilt right now when you have 2, maybe 3 arms that you can rely on. And certainly don't use those arms in that game. They never will say ever, we're punting on this game. We're punting. But sometimes you have to say, all right, Eniel, you know, this is where you need to go out and do it. Yuki, you know, whatever, see what you can do. But yeah, they didn't use Morejon. They didn't use Estrada. They didn't use Suarez. That's good. But I actually put Kolek in the bucket with those guys now.
Good for Kolek. The bullpen didn't lose that game, though.
No, no.
That's, the game was already lost.
Right. That's
before
what
the bullpen came in.
Since the game was already lost, you live to fight another day today and have better relievers going
into
today.
Yeah, I mean, they ended up using De Los Santos and Peralta, which now they could be down another reliever because Wandy Peralta, he didn't stay for the end of the game, had to come out with what looked kind of like a groin injury. I think Mike Schilt called it an adductor, you know, issue, and they'll know more tomorrow. But my guess is that Wandy Peralta is going to be down at least until probably the All-Star break.
Wandy Peralta?
Or Wandy Rodriguez?
Wandy Peralta.
Oh, it's not... Wandy Rodriguez is what I saw on the flagship.
I think someone got their wires crossed between Julio Rodriguez doing all the damage and Wandy Peralta getting injured in the ninth inning, which then forced De Los Santos to throw seven pitches to get the last out.
Now,
he didn't look good either. He gave up two scorching liners. Fortunately, he only had a one out to get out of the inning. So, yeah, the bullpen remains an issue. But the game was lost by the starting pitcher, Adam Mazur, who gave up runs in the first, second, third, and fifth, ended up going 4 2/3, seven hits, five earned runs. Did strike out six against the team that strikes out more than any other in baseball.
Your tweet was sarcastic, yes?
Very sarcastic.
I don't think people got that it was.
That's why I put the exclamation point at the end.
Congratulations
to Adam Mazur on his career high six strikeouts.
You were very spicy last night, and I like it. I like that when you get
and
spicy.
And you know what? I feel bad about it because I don't actually have any ill will toward Adam Mazur. And I don't really have any ill will toward the Padres. Adam Mazur is being put in a situation he's not ready for by a Padres organization that really has no choice other than to put him there. There aren't really good options. At AAA, there's no one who's throwing well. I mean, you got Jackson Wolf down there. He's not looking good. Robbie Snelling has not pitched well in the minor leagues. He doesn't look like he's ready.
Brito has not been good.
Brito went down to try to become a starter. He's gotten absolutely lit up while he's down there. They just signed Carl Edwards. He started yesterday, gave up like seven runs.
He started.
They just have not been able to find another option. So Adam Mazur, as not great as he's been, has generally gotten into the, you know, fourth, fifth inning. And right now, that's kind of all they're hoping for out of that fifth starter. They actually won the last three games that had a Mazur start.
And the last, yeah.
Because they scored a ton of runs.
They scored 10 runs, yeah.
Which, I mean, at least they won those games when they scored 10 runs. At the very least, he kept them to, you know, in the 4-6 range that if your offense has a great day, you have a chance to win. Didn't have a great day yesterday. You're not going to beat an all-star pitcher without a Mazur on the mound, which is why yesterday's game was kind of one of those white flag sort of games. And as I said, I thought it was over at the first batter. When Adam Mazur put the first guy on in the first inning, you just got the sense that this was not going to be his night or the Padres' night. And I know that Mike Schilt will then come out and defend him and say, you know, I mean, he was close. You know, I thought he kind of stabilized himself a little bit, then gave up that last run. That's what he has to say. I think if you're giving everybody truth serum from A.J. Preller on down, they know Adam Mazur shouldn't be here. Should be back in the minor leagues, continuing to hopefully hone his craft, come back up, you know, later this year or next year, and maybe be a competent starting pitcher in Major League Baseball. He's got some tools, but he's not ready yet. He's just not ready yet. And the Padres, unfortunately, due to injuries and a lack of depth, which I saw a lot of people, you know, criticizing A.J. Preller for his roster construction. When you cut $90 million from the payroll, depth is the first thing that goes. You know, you're hoping just to have Starth.
Brilliant.
When you're taking that kind of money off the payroll, you're scrambling for Starth.
Yeah, we need Starth.
And depth is now a luxury that you can't afford anymore.
Yeah, I mean, and if you think about some of the guys that they moved, the Drew Thorpes of the world, that he is actually pitching pretty well in Chicago. But I mean, but he got you Dylan Cease, who is at least...
He got you Starth.
And he got you Starth.
But you cost yourself depth.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So I I don't know. I mean, at some point, one of these pitchers, two of these pitchers are going to have to develop. And we're going to need them for innings this season, as it looks right now. I don't know that you can go out and acquire 2-3 starters, another bullpen guy for what you have in the minor leagues, obviously without giving up. I do get the sense it will probably be a one-stop shop, like the Nationals are selling. Okay, great. You eat some of his contract. We'll take him as a starter. We'll take him at the back end. You know, we'll give you this and this. And go. I think you can get it all in one place. I think there's plenty of teams to choose from. The Texas Rangers are another one. It just depends.
They've won five in a row.
They have. You know, they have.
It's just making all these trades even harder.
It does. It really does, man. So I think it's hard to be patient. I understand that. But four more games until the break. They'll 100% reassess where they are at that point and try to figure it out. It's going to be a white knuckle these last four games, though.
I saw some people suggest, why didn't you just skip over Major, have Michael King start, you know, on regular rest and not have Major go. Ultimately, though, you know, they're worried about Michael King's innings as well.
Oh, yeah.
And they see the All-Star break as an opportunity to give him a little extra time off and hopefully get him deeper into the season without stretching him way beyond where he's ever been. I mean, he's going to get there anyway.
No, I believe he's already over it.
But he's over it.
He's over it,
and it's just a matter of how far beyond his career innings high he's going to get at this point. But they're not going to just willy-nilly throw more innings at Michael King.
No, they're not going to ride him to
They're doing that with Dylan Cease. They changed their rotation to get Dylan Cease an extra start before the break on Sunday. He's the workhorse. He's the guy they're going to ask for more. It's not going to be Michael King who they ask for more right now. Maybe Waldron can do a little bit more, but he's not. Sour 97.3 The Fan is brought to you by the Frozen Ropes Baseball and Softball Training Facilities. Frozen Ropes now signing up athletes aged 6 through 12. For baseball and softball summer camps. Half-day, full-day options available. Make it a Frozen Ropes summer. For more information, visit SanDiegoFrozenRopes.com. That's SanDiegoFrozenRopes.com. We did have a player in studio yesterday. He was terrific. If you missed it, Kyle Higashioka came in, jammed on the guitar, then went out and hit a home run last night.
Oh, I was so relieved after he K'd in his first AB. Five, if I said it.
Now realize that
I know that
what, you know, who we talk to has no impact on performance, but I don't know that the players always realize that. So I wanted Kyle Higashioka to have a good feeling. Like, if he went out and went 0-for-4 with four strikeouts the day he came in and visited Ben and Woods in the studio, it's going to be hard for him to separate those two things. So I'm really happy that he hit a home run in the game yesterday. So now he knows, the day I went in and, you know, jammed with those guys, I hit a home run. He can feel good about that going forward. We didn't do anything to help him.
Not a damn thing.
Not anything at all. I'm taking zero credit.
I'm taking zero credit and zero blame.
I'm just glad we're getting no blame from anybody, hopefully. Lose the game.
They lost the game, but I fully could see the tweets coming out. Oh, maybe he should have been in the cages instead of playing guitar.
Maybe
with
he should have brought more of his teammates with him so they all could have played better last night like he did.
Maybe get Manny in here, play the guitar, since Manny is, after Friday night, has just been not great.
All right, we'll get to the Padres wrap up, talk about Adam Major's performance right after this check of traffic on 97.3 The Fan.
It's a shame if they lose.
Oh, a shame indeed.
It's a complete crap.
Oh, I did not like that.
Here are the lowlights from yesterday's game.
Are you kidding me?
Boo.
It's the Padres by Hummel Casino. With thrilling slots and tables and all the best rewards, Hummel Casino has all the fun you're looking for. Hummel Casino. Fun above all else.
We'll give it 16 minutes of salt, and then we'll, you know, get back on the bump and figure it out.
It's not your fault.
For the Mariners this year, most in baseball, as Rodriguez bounces one through the left side, a base hit. Crawford rounding third on his way. The throw and the tag, not in time. Bang, bang at the plate. Higashioka did a nice job kind of acting like the throw wasn't coming in, but J.P. Crawford never let off the gas. Profar nearly got him. It's an RBI single and a 1-0 Seattle lead. Here's the pitch. And a curveball hit in the air to right field and deep. Peralta's backing up. He is at the wall. It's going to go. two-run home run for Cal Raleigh. He almost passed Rodriguez near first base. J-Rod had gone back, and Peralta made that catch. He might have been trying to tag from first to second base, but it is a home run. Raleigh did not pass him. A two-run shot and a 4-0 game in the third. This one hit a mile in the left. Oh, boy. Up above the line score on the second deck for Julio Rodriguez. As hard of a hit ball as we have seen this year. 411 feet. And a 5-0 Mariner lead. J-Rod is now 3-for-3. That is his ninth home run of the season.
Yeah, that ball is absolutely crushed.
Runner on third, one out, so the infield now in. And the 1-1 pitch is golfed in the air to deep left field. Profar turns around. Going to go. Line drive, home run, Cal Raleigh. His second of the night. A two-run shot. And a 7-0 Seattle lead. Here's the 0-1, and Cronenworth hits it in the air to deep right field. This one is way back. Gonna go over the Petco porch. Second hit of the night for the Padres will break up the shutout. A solo homer for Cronenworth, his 13th of the season. 1-1. Higashioka swings, hits it in the air to deep left field. Moore is racing back. He'll number 11 for Higashioka. That is a new career high. Two-run shot in the eighth, and it's 7-3. There's the 1-2. Manny swings, hits a ground ball to third. Charged by Rojas. Little trouble getting it out of his glove to second one. On to first in time, and a double play to end the game. Padres got a base runner in the bottom of the ninth inning, but that is that as the Mariners take game one of this two-game set by a final of 8-3 behind one of the best pitching performances we have seen against the Pods here this season. Final score, Seattle 8 and the Padres 3.
Yeah, I think it's a combination of things. He was good. I mean, Gilbert threw the ball well. He's an all-star for a reason. He's got a really, really nice arm. Good life on his ball tonight. Was throwing it where he wanted to. Secondary was working. The guy was really, really good. Crony got him. And, it was a good swing, obviously. And, of course, Higgy, we started getting to him late, but it was too late.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah,
ran out of time.
Too late.
Yeah. Had we played 17, 18 innings and Logan Gilbert stayed in, we may win that game.
Force him to throw 17 innings?
But then again, I don't know.
Padres would also run out of pitching.
We would
as
need
well.
Somebody to get outs as well, which again continues to be a really, really tough look for the Padres bullpen, Ben. And funnily enough, I mean, the guy that, 3 weeks into the season, everyone was saying, why is he here? Steven Kolek quietly putting together just good outing after good outing now. And again, it's in low leverage situations. It's fine.
I'm liking Austin Davis. I mean,
yeah, he had a rough one the other night, but it's the nature of the beast, man. He's a young kid too, but Kolek has been stringing together some decent outings. In fact, I rarely do this anymore because it's such a fool's errand to go, well, I really would have liked to see so-and-so here, because it doesn't really matter with this Padres bullpen in his current state. But I'm looking at that going, all right, this is the things I was thinking about in my head, and I wonder if Mike Schilt was thinking the same. And walk with me here. We're down 5-0, I think, at the time, in the fifth.
Correct.
And I go, all right, I mean, we have been the comeback kids, but Gilbert's thrown 35 pitches or something by the fifth. Doesn't look like he's coming out anytime soon. Why don't we shut this mother down tonight? We'll see what we can do, see if we can scratch something out. But I'm not going to use guys that are on decent runs like Steven Kolek. I'm going to go use my Eniel De Los Santos's, guys like that. I actually started to put Steven Kolek in a move him out of this bucket and put him into a more high leverage bucket. So I was actually disappointed to see him come in last night. Yuki Matsui, bro, he had been good in really low leverage situations. That was one. He wasn't good again. I don't know what you do if you're AJ Preller or if you're Mike Schilt right now when you have two, maybe three arms that you can rely on, and certainly don't use those arms in that game. They never will say ever, we're punting on this game. We're punting. But sometimes you have to say, all right, Eniel, this is where you need to go out and do it. Yuki, whatever, see what you can do. But, yeah, they didn't use Morejon. They didn't use Estrada. They didn't use Suarez. That's good. But I actually put Kolek in the in the bucket with those guys now.
Good for Kolek. The bullpen didn't lose that game, though.
No, no.
That's, the game was already lost.
Right. That's
before
what I'm
the bullpen came in.
Since the game was already lost, you live to fight another day today and have better relievers going into
today.
Yeah,
I mean, they ended up using De Los Santos and Peralta, which now they could be down another reliever because Wandy Peralta, he didn't stay for the end of the game, had to come out with what looked kind of like a groin injury. I think Mike Schilt called it an adductor, you know, issue, and they'll know more tomorrow. But my guess is that Wandy Peralta is going to be down at least until probably the All-Star break.
Wandy Peralta?
Or Wandy Rodriguez?
Wandy Peralta.
Oh, it's not... Wandy Rodriguez is what I saw on the flagship.
I think someone got their wires crossed between Julio Rodriguez doing all the damage and Wandy Peralta getting injured in the ninth inning, which then forced De Los Santos to throw seven pitches to get the last out.
Now,
he didn't look good either. He gave up two scorching liners. They fortunately only had one out to get out of the inning. So, yeah, the bullpen remains an issue. But the game was lost by the starting pitcher, Adam Mazur, who gave up runs in the first, second, third, and fifth, ended up going 4 2/3, 7 hits, 5 earned runs, did strike out 6 against the team that strikes out more than any other in baseball.
Your tweet was sarcastic, yes?
Very sarcastic,
I don't think people got that it was.
That's why I put the exclamation point at the end.
Congratulations
to Adam Mazur on his career-high 6 strikeouts.
You were very spicy last night, and I like it. I like that when you get
and
spicy.
And you know what? I feel bad about it because I don't actually have any ill will toward Adam Mazur. And I don't really have any ill will toward the Padres. Adam Mazur is being put in a situation he's not ready for by a Padres organization that really has no choice other than to put him there. There aren't really good options. At AAA, there's no one who's throwing well. I mean, you got Jackson Wolf down there. He's not looking good. Robbie Snelling has not pitched well in the minor leagues. He doesn't look like he's ready.
Brito has not been good.
Brito went down to try to become a starter. He's gotten absolutely lit up while he's down there. They just signed Carl Edwards. He started yesterday, gave up like 7 runs.
He started.
They just have not been able to find another option. So Adam Mazur, as not great as he's been, has generally gotten into the, you know, fourth, fifth inning. And right now, that's kind of all they're hoping for out of that fifth starter. They actually won the last 3 games that had a Mazur start.
And the last, yeah.
Because they scored a ton of 10 runs,
yeah.
Which, I mean, at least they won those games when they scored 10 runs. At the very least, he kept them to, you know, in the 4-6 range that if your offense has a great day, you have a chance to win. Didn't have a great day yesterday. You're not going to beat an all-star pitcher without a Mazur on the mound, which is why yesterday's game was kind of one of those white flag sort of games. And as I said, I thought it was over at the first batter. When Adam Mazur put the first guy on in the first inning, you just got the sense that this was not going to be his night or the Padres' night. And I know that Mike Schilt will then come out and defend him and say, you know, I mean, he was close. You know, I thought he kind of stabilized himself a little bit, then gave up that last run. That's what he has to say. I think if you're giving everybody truth serum from A.J. Preller on down, they know Adam Mazur shouldn't be here. Should be back in the minor leagues, continuing to hopefully hone his craft, come back up, you know, later this year or next year, and maybe be a competent starting pitcher in Major League Baseball. He's got some tools, but he's not ready yet. He's just not ready yet. And the Padres, unfortunately, due to injuries and a lack of depth, which I saw a lot of people, you know, criticizing A.J. Preller for his roster construction. When you cut $90 million from the payroll, depth is the first thing that goes. You know, you're hoping just to have starth.
Starth! Brilliant.
When you're taking that kind of money off the payroll, you're scrambling for starth.
Yeah, we need starth.
And depth is now a luxury that you can't afford anymore.
Yeah, I mean, and if you think about some of the guys that they moved, the Drew Thorpes of the world, that he's actually pitching pretty well in Chicago. But, I mean, but he got you Dylan Cease, who is at least...
He got you starth.
And he got you starth.
But you cost yourself depth.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So I don't know. I mean, at some point, two of these pitchers are going to have to develop. And we're going to need them for innings this season, as it looks right now. I don't know that you can go out and acquire 2-3 starters, another bullpen guy for what you have in the minor leagues, obviously without giving up. I do get the sense it will probably be a one-stop shop like the Nationals are selling. Okay, great. you eat some of his contract. We'll take him as a starter. We'll take him at the back end. You know, we'll give you this and this. And I think you can get it all in one place. I think there's plenty of teams to choose from. The Texas Rangers are another one. It just depends.
They've won five in a row.
They have. You know, they have.
It's just making all these trades even harder.
It does. It really does, man. So I think it's hard to be patient. I understand that. But four more games until the break. They'll 100% reassess where they are at that point and try to figure it out. It's going to be a white knuckle these last four games, though.
I saw some people suggest, why didn't you just skip over Major, have Michael King start, you know, on regular rest and not have Major go? Ultimately, though, you know, they're worried about Michael King's innings as well.
Oh,
and
yeah.
They see the All-Star break as an opportunity to give him a little extra time off and hopefully get him deeper into the season without stretching him way beyond where he's ever been. I mean, he's going to get there anyway.
No, I believe he's already over it.
But he's over
it.
And it's just a matter of how far beyond his career innings high he's going to get at this point. But they're not going to just willy-nilly throw more innings at Michael King.
No, they're not going to ride him
They're doing that with Dylan Cease. They changed their rotation to get Dylan Cease an extra start before the break on Sunday. He's the workhorse. He's the guy they're going to ask for more. It's not going to be Michael King who they ask for more right now. Maybe Waldron can do a little bit more, but he's not the knuckleballer who's just the rubber arm guy that can always come back. He still throws 93.
Yep.
He throws the knuckleball with a lot of effort. So four times in a week if we needed to. Matt Waldron's not that guy either. So they have to be careful with some of these other younger pitchers who have not thrown a ton of innings other than Dylan Cease. And, you know, I think they hopefully realize Adam Major won't be one of those pitchers in the second half of the season either because of a trade or maybe, you know, Yu Darvish and or Joe Musgrove comes back. You know, Major will be the first one to go, but right now they just don't have anybody else.
Do you, when you watch Adam Major pitch, and you guys can weigh in on the chat or on Twitter as well, when you watch Adam Major pitch, do you say, yeah, he's just a little bit rough around the edges, but I think eventually he can be a big help to this team? Maybe out of the bullpen? I have no idea.
I think if he gets his command dialed in, there's something there. The problem right now is twofold. The command is not good. He can't put the pitches where he wants to. And the opposing batters are just way too comfortable up there.
Way too comfortable.
Way too comfortable.
They talked about it last night on the broadcast that, you know, can't land his fastball. They're sitting breaking ball. Can't land his breaking ball. They're sitting fastball. I mean, big league hitters are really, really good. When you can 100% subtract a pitch, when you go up for your approach and say, he's not, if it spins, I'm not swinging at it. So, if it's straight, I'm swinging.
Or I'm looking for spin on the first pitch. Yeah. I saw that happen, too.
Yeah.
It's something every team deals with, because I feel like it happens to the Padres all the time.
No, it does. It does.
Every year we're like, what is this? This guy shouldn't even be up here, but we got nobody else.
You don't hear about it as much from other teams, because you're not living through the fifth starter, you know, with other teams as much. You just kind of ignore those games.
You've had guys come up and make a spot start out of necessity. This has been... seven spot starts, basically?
Yeah.
Like, he's just not ready.
It just goes to show you what you don't have right now, and nobody else really knocking on the door either. You know, I'll see, this Sean Reynolds had one good outing, or this guy had one good outing, and all right, so it's not as easy as we like to think it is. Bring him up, send him down, bring him up, send him down. I mean, there has to be a lot that goes into getting somebody prepared to pitch at the big league level for the first time. Stuff that we have no idea about. It's not as easy as just, let's give this guy a shot. Give this guy a shot. But somebody needs to step up and earn it, because if you're a minor leaguer for the San Diego Padres and you're a pitcher, there's innings to be had. Do you want to pitch in the big leagues? It's right there in front of you. You can go get it.
Question. Did both of you make it all the way through the bottom of the ninth yesterday?
Yeah, I made it all the way through.
Paulie did not. All right, if you didn't, and I imagine there's a few people out there who did not.
I like the pain.
You missed a little spiciness in the bottom of the ninth inning that could possibly carry over into today's game.
You'll never guess who it's involving. Good God, man. I love it.
We'll talk about that coming up next. We'll play a little Take on Woods, try to qualify another listener for a trip to Las Vegas. All coming up in hour number two. Don't go away. More Ben and Woods on the way on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.